Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show. We've got a new intro scheme, and that didn't quite work, did it?
I thought it was all right. I was tweeting, so I didn't really take any much attention, as I should have done, of course.
It was my fault it didn't work.
I heard your name and my name, and then what happened?
It played the music twice. Well, kind of, but
you know,
anyway.
Like, you know me when I do my show, Scott and Quoth, Superior Show, of course. Something always goes wrong at the beginning, and we always muddle through.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what?
What?
Guess who came in locally for me?
Go on.
You know about my bush, don't you?
Locally. I know about your bush, yeah.
My buckthorn.
Yeah.
Well, the Greens. I had a great big sign in my front.
I saw that, yeah.
And they got through, and also in Gorrell Ward. So, big shout out to the Greens, because as I said in my various tweets, they're the only ones that cared to come along and look at my bush.
She's got all political. Now she's an old age pensioner. She's got nothing else to do. She's got all revolutionary and political. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. I'm going to say hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Oh.
On 100.2 FM, FreeView 277, online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and a stonkingly gorgeous...
Dandelion drinking tea.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, about my bush.
Yeah, yeah. I can't do this. She keeps going on about her bush, and then on Friday, I got somebody that wants to come on the show from a company. They said, I was listening to you, and Jill was talking about a bush. Can we come on your show as guests? And I went, yeah, what's your company? And they went, Pussy Pamper.
Oh, dear.
No, I don't think you can.
Oh, it sounds and they, quite good.
No, well, they're cat groomers, apparently.
Oh, okay. I love cats.
Yeah.
Have you checked them out?
No. Oh. No, I just said... No, I'm sorry, I just can't do that.
Well, as I was saying, the Greens are the only ones that cared when Canterbury City Council came along and chopped down one of the largest roosts in the whole of Kent, the starlings and sparrows. We have weasels in there. Mm. I work with a weasel sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
We have weasels in there. We have a nightingale in there. And I live in Tankton. It's a lovely... It's been there for hundreds of years, and they just hacked it down. And my, we have a lot of bird watchers there, and my bird watcher friend, Andy, who's on the Twitter, as you would be as a bird watcher, Andy Swalecliffe, you can follow him, he's an ornithologist, and he said he watched them.
He's an ornithologist?
Ornithologist.
Is he?
Not a gynecologist, ornithologist.
Right, okay.
Talking of bushes.
He still looks up birds, though.
Oh!
You see what I did there?
When they say my hands might be a bit cold, it's always a bit worrying. Your legs are in stitches.
Anyway, he's an ornithologist, yeah.
So, long story...
This show gets worse every week.
Andy is like me, a bit of a campaigner for wildlife. We weren't, but we had to be, because... So, he saw the contractors come and actually... plow through this huge established bush that's been there hundreds of years, and all the birds were flying out.
Yeah.
So the Greens were the only one that came on a bank holiday.
You know where she's going with this, because we just had
and
the local elections
in the pouring rain.
We've talked about this for the last 3 weeks.
And the sewage in the sea.
Where she's going with this is she's trying to take credit for the fact that they actually won a seat on Canterbury City Council for the first time ever, and not only that. Our friend Ben, who was the leader of Canterbury City Council, who was behind all of this nonsense, actually lost his seat.
Because he's become extremely unpopular. Look what he's done with the car parks. Yeah. He's going to ruin the high street. Paul and I were doing a little merry jig when we heard that, weren't we?
Yeah, something like that.
But I don't understand, because Ben Fitter Harding has a hotel, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So surely, as a hospitality owner... He wants Canterbury to thrive.
Yeah, but once people become politicians, they just do what everybody else does, don't they? It's just...
Why don't you stand?
I did once.
You'd get the nuclear power
station. No. I stood as an independent once. It was the biggest waste of time I've ever had in my life.
Why?
Because people don't vote for what you're telling them. They vote for parties, and they vote traditionally, no matter what. When I was canvassing, To stand as a local candidate, independent candidate, the amount of people that said, no, I'm voting, in this particular case, it was, no, I'm voting Labour. And I went, no, you're not. And they went, don't you tell me who to vote for. I said, I'm not. I'm just telling you, there isn't a Labour candidate, so you can't vote for them. Well, I'm going to vote for them anyway. Really? How does that work? It's a waste of time.
And do you know about the 8 a.m. scramble? This is the new thing.
Go on.
It's a little hashtag I've started, but apparently Rishi Sunak...
Is this eggs?
We don't normally do... I wish it was.
No, you do politics every week. You either do politics or health every single week, and you have done for 5 years.
Have I really? It's very subtle, though, isn't it?
Yeah, no.
So, Rishi Sunak has said that he's going to sort out the health service, you know, the appointments for GPs, which we all know are really difficult.
By implementing a GP system that they've already got,
Okay. By playing music, which is the one thing that really annoys me when there's music. And my surgery is part of three surgeries in Whitstable. So I cannot bypass, it will not let you bypass. So I know what number I need to get an appointment at Whitstable Surgery. But I have to, it says you must listen to the whole thing, and it goes on and on. Then it comes on with recorded messages. You can get your flu jab. You can see a pharmacist for constipation. I know it all off by heart. And my mum and I find it very difficult at 8 o'clock. So I walked in and said,
you're not allowed to do that.
I walked in and I said, hello, could I have an appointment?
And I go, no, you've got a phone.
She said, no, we're not doing any appointments because of bank holidays. No advance appointments. So I said, oh, okay. So she said, you can do an online consultation. And I said, well, I've done that. And it says, see your doctor. So I came around in circles. But actually, my GP is very good. So what I do, don't tell anyone, I email her PA or her secretary. You're not allowed to call them PAs. You have to call them secretary. And I email her with various things. And usually about AstraZeneca and left eye.
Oh, get on with it, woman, for goodness sake.
My GP is very good. She, her lady secretary, phoned me and made an appointment. But it is a telephone appointment.
Yeah.
Well, look at my left eye via the...
Anyway, we're not doing that all over again.
It gets my goat.
Yeah. Well, every week we do this for 3 years.
Does it get
your goat? It's boring. No, you get my goat.
Talking of that, I'm getting a whole sheep at the weekend.
You said a lamb, you said.
Yeah, well, what is the difference between a lamb and a sheep? Just younger?
Well, a lamb, smaller.
Younger?
Yeah.
More tender.
You can eat a sheep. You
can
eat
a
lamb.
You, really.
You're not going to eat a sheep, are you?
It's a bit like me and you, really.
Yeah, mutton.
But you're mutton.
Mutton best dressed as goat, she
I'm
is.
I'm lamb.
Yeah.
I try not to be mutton. I always worry when I put on a necklace. Is it too much? You know, is it a bit mutton?
Anyway, so you're getting a lamb. Where are you getting it from?
Oh, I have a friend who, I get one every year from my friend's small holding, and it's lovely because it's never been to an abattoir, so it hasn't got that fear, the adrenaline in its blood. So it's very tender.
Is it still alive then?
No, she chops it all up and labels it all for me, and we eat nose to tail, so we eat the whole sheep and everything. And
right, okay.
What we don't have, my lovely Darcy greyhound gets.
So. Right, okay.
And that's why I love the Good Shed, because their butcher is nose to tail. No waste at all. So you can go and buy tail, oxtail, lovely. Do you ever do oxtail? It's absolutely divine.
No.
Very, very nice. Really,
I've had oxtail soup.
Yeah, but if you do it at home in a slow cooker, it's really tasty.
Is it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Cheap.
Good.
A lot of the cheap cuts now have got quite expensive there because they've got a bit sheeshy.
Yeah.
I think there's some chef has been talking about it and, you know.
Okay.
I've got a little email to read out, shall I?
Yeah, please. I'm bored now.
I'm bored now.
I've heard all of these arguments so many times.
I know, but there's still new listeners every week.
No.
Don't know about the bush.
Yeah, because the old ones get bored and leave.
The next event at Y School Ashford, it's been scheduled. It's your 30-30 programme.
Me and Adele are going tomorrow.
Oh, Adele's going to be there.
Yeah.
Manana. So it's manana, May the 10th. I'll be in London, actually.
Yeah.
11 to 1:30. And it's at the Y School. And it's Olantic Road. Is that right?
Yeah.
Olantic. It's an unusual name, isn't it?
It is an unusual name.
What does it mean?
I don't know.
Well, it's not Kentish, is it?
It's not, no.
Olantic, I like it. Maybe Irish, with a T-I-G-H?
Possibly. Who cares?
Anyway, it's in Y. There is a little website. If you go onto Kent Business Radio, which is our website, .co.uk, put a /30-30, you'll find all the details. But as we said, it's 11 to 1:30. And it's at the Y School near Ashford.
Thank you.
You've turned my hissing down, haven't you? I had some hissing.
Yeah, no, the headphones are playing up a little bit.
I just thought it was my tinnitus. I'm quite used to it.
Yeah, no, there's something...
I found a cure for my tinnitus. It's not very... doesn't last long, but I've noticed... Now, this is... We've got a doctor in the house. This is amazing.
Let me explain. Anyway. Chinwe's a doctor, but let me explain this.
I might lie on the desk as
people like Jules get older, yeah, their entire focus in life is on all the ailments they can have. And since the invention of the internet, it's been a nightmare because she can look up all kinds of things and decide to have them. Yeah.
But we've got a doctor in the house.
I know, and I'm trying to protect her as much as I can.
Yeah. Actually,
I wish I was a baby, though.
I think I need to put in a disclaimer here, because I'm a paediatrician. So if you're over 18, then you're
no chance.
None of my business.
Babies don't get tinnitus. Anyway, I have found a cure for myself, which is very strange, and I'm going to talk to a load of people about it, because there's a load of people with tinnitus at the moment. So I have a high pitch in my right ear. And if I go push my chin forward,
you got to see this, listeners.
It goes.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Well, so it must be doing something to my
ear muscles, isn't it?
Well, it's amazing, though, isn't it? So this is what I recommend.
For the next hour and a half, if you could stick your lower jaw out, and not speak, your ears will be better.
Really?
Yeah, trust me.
Who's going to read all this then?
I'll read it.
Will you?
I've got stuff to read as well.
Just to prove your point, Paul Andrews.
I've got this lovely message from Neville.
Have you?
Yeah.
Neville Gaunt.
He's
not at all Gaunt.
I beg your pardon?
He's not at all Gaunt.
No, he's not. I'm happy to share that YPT2G, I'll tell you who they are in a minute, obtained a new certification. They won Best Education Interactive Classroom from SME News. YP2G is your passport to grow. And they do a huge amount of work in terms of attitudinal training of young people in Pakistan and India, as well as here, but they do a lot in Asia. And they've just won an award for it. And they say, become a can-do person, changing the attitude of a new generation. So that's nice, isn't it? Mm. Well done.
There's a Marsh Network breakfast meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the lovely Ship Inn, which is a very nice pub. It's at 118 High Street, Dimchurch. On May the 25th, I'll be in Ibiza, so I won't be going. But May 25th, 7:45 to 9:15. So get along there. As usual, all details are on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. And there's a little coffee morning at Kenwood. And this is with cakes and savouries available. And the next one is on Thursday, the 25th of May. So another one on the 25th, 10:30 to 3. So you could go to the Marsh breakfast meeting, leave there around 9:15, and then hop over and have cakes and savouries at Kenwood. Sounds good to me. So you don't have to book for the Kenwood. That sounds better, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, it's my microphone, but now you can't hear me.
Oh, well, there's always a blessing to host. So the cafe is Kenwood Road, and that's in Yalding, ME18, 6AH for Harry. And there's also a Marsh Network in East Sussex at the Pet Village Hall at 10:30 a.m. on the 6th of June. So that's the diary date.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to www.marshnetwork.co.uk.
Cool. Let's talk better.
Proper.
Let's Talk Better is a catalyst for inspiring better conversations around taboo and stigma topics, raising greater awareness and how this can impact people's mental health and well-being. We're grateful to all those who have supported us so far and attended the launch event on February the 24th. Our loneliness and connection event is going to be even greater, with lots of interesting talks and discussions along with interactive activities. Please join us and support this campaign at our chosen charity, which is CASPA. And this is an event that's taking place on the 26th of May in Bromley, the South Street Cafe of CASPA. And if you want to find out more, you can go to their website, which is letstalkbetter.org, or you can book a ticket at Eventbrite, Loneliness and Connection, Let's Talk Better. I'm going to that. I booked my ticket this morning. They did invite Jules, but it's on Jules' birthday. Yeah. And she won't be here.
I will be on a little island in Ibiza having lunch, I think, and then diving off a boat. That's what I normally do on my birthday.
Is that right?
The thing is, the older I get, the laxer I get after a lunch and diving in, and, you know, it all washes up your nose and then you get earache.
What washes up your nose?
Seawater.
Oh, water.
When you dive, you know, because you don't concentrate anymore. You're just like laissez-faire.
Or drunk, as it's normally known.
Could be. A little bottle of carver or two.
Yeah,
bit of
exactly.
Carver.
Yeah.
Bit of carver. Yeah. Only organic carver, though. Don't give me a hangover, then.
Okay.
Cooper Burnett, they've appointed three new partners. The team there at Tunbridge Wells-based law firm has expanded to include three new partners. Mm. One is Sarah Strong from the private client team, and she's been promoted, while the other two are new appointments. They've got David Brown, who heads up the firm's recently created construction, and also Russell Brinkhurst. I do like his name, Russell Brinkhurst. Yeah. I'd like to meet him. Who joins the corporate and commercial team. They've got a highly experienced construction lawyer, that's David Brown. He'll be working closely with team members from both litigation and property. He's a member of the Technology and Construction Solicitors Association and the Society of Construction Law. David's right. work typically involves providing dispute resolution and contract law advice to building contractors, developers, subcontractors, architects, surveyors, and professional indemnity insurers. So a warm welcome to Russell Brinkhurst as the new partner. And they've known him for many years, so they're absolutely delighted. Well done, Cooper Burnett.
Like it. Good. We need volunteers. Can you help? CARM, C-A-R-M, is your local charity making a difference to the lives of lonely people. Please get in touch if you'd like to help. They provide expenses, training and support, and the charity is CARM, Caring Altogether on Romney Marsh. And basically, they provide friending services to people isolated out on the marsh, lonely, and help them with transport and all kinds of things. If you'd like to find out more or get involved with helping them, which I hope you do, you can call them on 01233 758 122. That's Ashford, 01233 758 122, or you can email them at office@calmromneymarsh.org.uk, or you can look at their website, which is calm romneymarsh.org.uk. Was that you?
No, I haven't touched it.
Okay.
Gremlin.
Right.
Sorry, my Twitter's going bananas, but it's other stuff, but I can't read it. Greetings from Canterbury. This is the Cathedral Grounds, and they're looking absolutely splendid this spring. I love spring, don't you, as a season? Mm-hmm. Don't you, Adele? I love spring. Mm-hmm. And all the colours come out, and apart from the rain, we did get 2 good days, I think, over...
Yeah,
I think we sat out Friday all day and also Sunday.
Saturday as well.
Yeah. Anyway, so spring in the Cathedral Grounds, they're looking splendid, they say. The bunting was up and they're all ready for their weekend of special events, and they celebrated the coronation of King Charles. And they say it's a few months since we were last in touch, Business Bunker, and we've lots of news to share. Firstly, they have a new lounge bar, and that's open, and it's a great place for guests to enjoy a pre-dinner drink. Or prink, as I call them. This leads on to more exciting news. The Refectory restaurant is open for dinner on Wednesday to Saturday evenings. And both guests and non-residents can look forward to a splendid season of a beautiful a la carte menu. And the restaurant's also open for Sunday lunch. So best wishes, the Cathedral Lodge team, and thanks Business Bunker, they say. Brilliant.
Fantastic. Do you want to read another one?
Yeah. The Business Terrace... This is the NatWest Business Builder. The next session in the Business Builder series from NatWest is How to Build a Resilient Business. The date is Wednesday the 7th of June. It's at 10:30 a.m. and all details, as usual, are on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Put a slash and put calendar. Then there's the Marsh Network. They have one in Folkestone, so this is interesting. I love Folkestone. It's really getting hip, isn't it? Have you been?
Yeah, I have. You too.
Do you go?
Yeah, I love it.
There's a nice, I found a little, by the train tracks, there's a market there on a Sunday. I don't know if that's still there, but that was really nice. So they have a business breakfast networking. It's at Base Point in Shearway Business Park.
Yeah, okay.
Point. Mm. Business Park. So where is Shearway Business Park?
Folkestone.
Really?
Yeah.
Where about?
Shearway Business Park.
It's very clever what they've done in Folkestone, though, isn't it? Because they've got the artisan area and, you know, artisan quarter.
Down by the harbour.
Yeah, very
creative,
clever.
Creative quarter.
Thank you for that. I thought it was artisan, but it's creative, yeah. 7:45 a.m. is this breakfast one, and it's till 9 a.m, and it's on the 13th of June, so that's the diary date. And then there's a Medway one, and it's a new event. It's open to all businesses in Medway. Whether you're a freelancer or a one-person operation, or you run multiple companies across the towns, it's Dragon Co-working, 7 to 8 New Road Avenue in Rochester, where you hail from. Mm-hmm. 6 to 8 p.m. on the 22nd of June. As usual, all details are on kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. And if you want to tweet us, it's the usual, use the BBunker hashtag, and tweet at VanillaWeb at Jules Serkin.
Cool. I've had a tweet from iTrust Assurance,
oh,
the Speak Up app, and they say, can we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? Well, there you go.
We've done it. And did you see from Stephanie in South Africa?
About her load shedding?
Yeah. It just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Because we have a lovely South African lady downstairs who works downstairs in Kent Space. Leslie, and I was saying, how do you cope without a fridge and things, you know, if you've got 10-hour blackouts?
Yeah.
And she said that her father got very ill because, you know, the chicken was defrosted and then frosted again, you know, froze again and then... So very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the government, yeah?
Yeah.
Being...
We're just bringing back the 1970s, basically.
We had candles, I remember that.
Yeah, we had a three-day week when we had no electricity for... 2 days a week.
I think some civil servants are doing a 4-day week now anyway.
Yeah, but that you know, but basically we weren't allowed to go to work, but we weren't allowed to have electricity either. So it's exactly the same as what's happening in South Africa. We had load shedding, except that every area of the country had different days without electricity.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Well, difficult for work, certainly. I bought a generator last year, a solar generator, which we haven't had to use yet, luckily, but it's enough for a laptop and a phone and stuff. The University of Kent and Produced in Kent have together launched a gleaning project that will see... I love a gleaning project, don't you? That will see students work with farms to tackle food waste and reduce the environmental impact on surplus food. The project supports farms in the Kent Downs area of outstanding natural beauty. Don't let Canterbury Council on there. Redistributing produce to businesses and charities and community groups in the Canterbury area. And they're using that Food Loop app that we all know about. And it was developed, of course, by Produced in Kent. It connects those who have surplus food with those who need it. Statistics in volumes of surplus gleaned from Kent fields and distributed to those who need it will be collected through Food Loop and shared publicly. So that's great. Reminds me, we had a load of soil. You know, when we dug our pond in the garden, we built this lovely big pond last year, and we had loads of surplus soil. And instead of taking it to the tip, people wanted it. So we bagged it up and we're taking some to the good shed as well.
Right, okay.
In big bags.
Bags of soil.
Yeah, huge bags.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I've just had this tweet, which is spooky.
Is it?
Yeah. You'll know why it's spooky in a minute.
Have you played Cheesy Tunage yet?
It's spooky because of the Cheesy Tunage.
Oh, you're holding out for the Cheesy Tunage, aren't you?
I'm just about to play the Cheesy Tunage, and I've literally just had this tweet from Pip Wilson.
Right.
Yeah? Pip is a drummer.
Yeah.
Pip is normally the drummer with Mud.
Yeah.
The 70s rock band. But he's actually the stand-in drummer for another band at the moment. And he says, there's a night full of boogie coming to the Hazlitt Theatre Maidstone tomorrow night. A rare visit to Kent from the acclaimed T-Rex Mark Bolan specialist T-Rextacy band, who are accredited worldwide by the Bolan family. It's going to be a night to remember.
Wow.
Do you want to hear the Cheesy Tunage?
Go on then.
Let it all hang out, but you won't fool the children of the river.
Children of the Revolution, just because I did, because it had children in it, basically. That was the cheesy link, I'm afraid. But how spooky was that for Phil to send that message just before I went live with it? That's really weird, isn't it? Yeah, don't you think?
Yeah, it's extremely spooky. But, you know, spooky things happen throughout life, don't they? Don't you often find there are times, you know, I've said to my new husband, sometimes check your petrol. And then he's texted me that I've just run out of petrol. Very spooky thing. But that is incredibly spooky.
Yeah. Right, what I need you to do, I need you to read a couple of things, and then we're going to talk to Chinwe. Yeah.
Okay. So, are you a business based in the Ashford region of Kent? This includes Hythe and Romney Marsh and Folkestone, Deal and Dover. Why not enter the Ashford Business Awards 2023? All the categories and entry details close on the 19th of May. So if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk category/business events, you will find how to enter. It's really worth entering these free things because you get a load of PR for it and it really boosts your business. So do that. And then the Marquis of Granby has been named the best pub in Kent by the National Pub and Bar Awards. And the Marquis of Granbury is a country pub in Alcombe in Kent. Do I say Alcombe? I think I do.
Alcombe, yeah.
Yeah. And it's been named the best pub in the country, in the county by the National Pub and Bar Awards. I drive past this pub all the time on the way back from the studio to Whitstable, so I must pop in because I never knew. I do believe that they were from the Sportsman, the chef Jim there, but I don't know if he's still there. And also, in other news, we got Kent-based law firm, that's Warner's Solicitors, and they've appointed Louise Brenland. She's going to be the partner and head of the employment law team. Louise brings 18 years of employment law experience working with companies across all sectors, including agriculture, construction, manufacturing, education and healthcare. She's also worked with clients in the public, private and not-for-profit sectors. Louise specialises in all areas of employment law and HR, including dismissals. That's not very nice, is it? It must be tough to do. Dismissals, discrimination, redundancy, business reorganisations, whistleblowing, employment tribunals and drafting policies. Procedures and handbooks as well. In addition, Louise advises on data protection matters. So Louise Brendan sounds like an all-rounder to me. She's the new partner and the head of the employment law team.
Right. Sorry about that. We're having lots of microphone problems this morning, and I'm not really sure why. I hope you can hear me. But it's not me you want to listen to. It's our next guest. And we're really pleased to have join us Chinwe Udeh. Jim Wake, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for your patience. Thank you for putting up with Jules and her nonsense by ignoring her, which is what we all do.
I only met Jules this morning. I think I love her already. I'm too late, Paul. Yeah. She's won me over.
Yeah, don't be fooled. Don't let her drag you into her little net.
Before we start, you need to tell us who you brought with you, this little red animal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, this is
Who is he?
Can I introduce myself?
Yeah, you go for it.
Then Marvin will make sense, okay. Right? So I'm Chinwei. I'm a paediatrician in Dartford. And obviously I work for the NHS. My special expertise is around epilepsy and neurology, conditions in children.
Wow.
Right.
And I have a private practice at the Spire Alex in Chatham, where I see children who have seizures, who have funny turns at home. Mom and dad are worried and they need to see somebody who is highly experienced around that.
I want to ask you about that in a minute.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. But yeah, go.
And so children who have headaches and tics and sleep difficulties. Sleep is so important. Oh my God! Mm. And there's almost a pandemic of it going on in young children. So
what
that
is sleeplessness.
Sleep difficulties.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you think that's because of the pandemic and fear? Or?
I think a lot of it has to do with sort of mental health, anxiety, hidden anxiety that does happen in children. We always assume that grown-ups get anxious and worried, but kids do as well. So I deal with all of that, and then that's my safe space, where I can give my patients a lot of time and really dig down deep and deal with problems with the families, and I do my very best to support them.
So what's the age group that you're looking at?
So literally 0 to 18.
And oh, up to 18?
Up to 18, wow. Yes, because you transition between, from about 12, you start talking about transition into adult services.
Yeah,
up
sure.
to 18. So, and it's Kent Kids Neurology. That is my clinic. And so if you want to get in touch, then, just email secretary@kentkidsneurology. I do general pediatrics as well. So, but yes, it's mainly epilepsy and neurology. And I am passionate about children and young people with epilepsy and their families, which is why about 2016, when I got my first consultant job in Dartford, my role was rather unique because at the time, NHS England was doing this Vanguard program where they were looking to develop services specifically around certain conditions. And the whole aim was to develop these services, link up with the tertiary centres like King's College Hospital and Guy's and St. Thomas's Hospital. Mm. And really improve patient experience and journey. So luckily, Dartford at the time wanted to focus on neurology for children. And that's how my post came to be there. And I've spent the last 7 odd years developing the epilepsy service there. And very importantly, is right at the very start when I got there, we didn't really have an epilepsy service. It was just me. There was no specialist nurse. And obviously my trust at the time, they were really very helpful and supportive and looking around to see how we can get things going.
Mm.
And then I remembered that I had worked with a specialist nurse, a really, really good specialist nurse when I was a registrar in Cambridge in neurology there. She was a Roald Dahl nurse.
Right, okay.
And what is a Roald Dahl nurse?
So a Roald Dahl nurse my first. They've got wings and they're like fairies. And so basically, so Jo was a Roald Dahl nurse. And I think what really got me thinking was that as a doctor in training at the time I worked really closely with her and really began to appreciate a lot of the things that happen when we're not in the clinic room doing prescriptions.
Right.
This lady was absolutely fantastic with families. They would call her, she would signpost them, and it was just absolutely amazing. And the outcome, the way the family grew in confidence around this child who, usually would have complex problems.
Right.
So, I picked up the phone and said, "Hi, I'm Dr. Uday. I'm new in Dartford and I want to start an epilepsy service and I need a nurse." And you know, with the wave of their absolutely marvelous wand, about 4 to 6 months later, we had a nurse in Dartford, the very first Royal Down nurse in Kent.
Wow.
So the charity's chief exec came down within a couple of weeks with their program director at the time, Sophie, who was still a good friend of mine. And then we got our first Royal Down nurse in Kent. And what the charity does is that it raises funds to put these specialist nurses in post. So in Dartford, we have specialist nurses for epilepsy, but they also do other conditions that are generally underfunded and not so trendy, you know, like the underdog. So things like sickle cell disease, thalassemia, SWAN. So SWANs are like, it's an abbreviation for syndrome without a name. So imagine if you're a parent and you have this child with complex needs, but there is no diagnosis, no known diagnosis for it. Mm. It becomes really, really challenging to figure out what's the best thing.
And you'd feel alone, wouldn't you, if you don't have a diagnosis?
Horribly alone. Mm. So epilepsy, and in clinics, when I'm in clinics, I see these families, you know, firsthand and how it impacts them. And not a day goes by where I am not absolutely inspired by them. Mm. The strength, the courage, the underdog stories, which is a typical Roald Dahl trend. If you look at all his stories, isn't it? It's all about the underdog that just makes it despite all the odds against them. So yes, I am absolutely passionate about work around children with epilepsy. And so in June, I'm going off Snowdon.
Oh.
With my absolute beautiful, beautiful Adele, who is also my fitness trainer and coach. We're going up, and I'm going up so that I can sort of, meet my own personal challenges, you know, with anxieties and fitness, you know, challenges basically. And then really, to do this for Royal Dahl's charity and to raise awareness and fund. I'm not quite sure how much money I can raise though, but for me, it's mainly about awareness around epilepsy, around this absolutely marvelous charity that does a lot of work. Fun fact though, the new queen is a patron for the charity.
Okay.
Ah. I know, so we're posh like that now. And
you're well connected with royalty.
You're so well connected. Except that I've never actually met her, but the point is that this charity has come a long way since it was started a few years ago, and a lot of people don't know this, but Roald Dahl himself, other than being an author, had a child who had complex needs and hydrocephalus, and he was actually a
medical... What did he have?
Hydrocephalus, so where there's fluid
the
in the brain, if not treated, it could cause pressure and obviously become quite serious and dangerous.
And that can often happen straight after birth.
Sometimes straight after birth, sometimes after a significant head injury. And so his child had that following a diagnosis at the time. And he invented, he co-invented the VP shunt, which is a little gadget we use nowadays. Not me, neurosurgeons, they're really clever people. They use it to drain the fluids in children, really life-saving
through the scalp.
Equipment. Yeah, so they put the shunt in and it drains it from the brain into the tummy, and so that there's the pressure doesn't build
Amazing.
Up. So Roald Dahl has been, when he was alive, well, he's always been passionate about children and about telling the story about, kids who start off not really expected to go a certain way, but they literally smash it. They beat the odds and they do better than we expect. So I am just really proud and privileged to be part of this journey, to be someone who has epilepsy, who can actually interact with these families every day. And I suppose the charity kind of meets that need in a very, very fundamental way by putting nurses in posts that can be really valuable to these families in a far more meaningful way than I could ever.
It sounds like you've put in place a real support line for families, because epilepsy can be terrifying. you yes. know, for the parents.
Yes.
And also just letting the child go off to school and all that stuff. So do you ever get involved in talks at school and, you know, with pupils that might have epilepsy, or would that something you would think of doing?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to do that more. Our specialist in the pre-pandemic, so some of our activities in Dartford sort of reduced a little bit because of the pandemic, but home visits, school visits is all part of the things that the specialist nurses will
Brilliant.
Do. We have support groups as well, which I'm passionate about, and again, kicking back out, starting it all up again since the pandemic has been a bit challenging, but we're back there now. So it's really, really useful to think about a child who has had their first seizure and think how frightening it will be for the parents, but also for the child, because it's like, what happened to me?
Yeah.
How do I go back to school? Did my friends see me? You know, it's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
So there's so many layers to it.
Being different is always difficult as a child.
Yes, but I often say to them, epilepsy does not rule. We are going to diagnose it. We're going to manage it. We're going to support you through it, and we get back to as normal as possible.
Mm.
And one of the things that the specialist nurses, their role brings to the table for these families is also having that link, that person that reminds them that this is doable. There's not going to, you know, bring us down forever. And we're going to find ways around some of those challenges. I can't imagine as a mum, you know, how terrifying that would be. You know, you're never going to sleep well,
your
isn't
precious
it? Especially
child,
if you,
yeah.
if you've got children that have seizures in their sleep, you know, it's really, really difficult.
Yeah, horrible.
Do they have monitors for that sort of thing, or don't they work?
Well, but much to my, you know, disappointment, because I should know better, but actually it's not available on the NHS really, so a lot of families have to source them themselves.
And how much do they cost?
Oh, it varies from really simple gadgets to from £50 to thousands of pounds sometimes. Young Epilepsy UK is a really good website that people can visit, and even if you don't have a child with epilepsy, you may know somebody who has epilepsy, or another parent who has a child who's got epilepsy. But that website is really very good. It's called Young Epilepsy UK, and they've got valuable information around almost anything you would want to know about epilepsy. Yes. Or you could ask me.
That's fantastic. I just want to come back and ask you, Chimoy, you mentioned about your epic journey coming up Snowdon, and you're going to raise money.
Yeah.
Is that on the same link as the one you sent me?
No, I've got my Just Giving page.
Okay.
And it's called Chimoy's Snowdon Challenge 2023.
Okay. If you can send me a link to that, I will put that on the radio website so people can find it and donate to it as well.
Cool. Thank you so much, Paul. I really appreciate it. And the charity would really appreciate it as well. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
We're
Thank
happy
you.
To do that. Right. It's fascinating talking to you. But I think we're going to finish off with a poem.
Yes. Thank you, Paul. Now, I'm very nervous about this because in the last 4 months, I've got into this habit of writing poems, and Adele is here with me. She sounds bored for me because then, you know, it's a really good process for me. So I thought I'd share this one that I'd written recently. It's called The Challenge. So shall I start?
Go for it.
Yes. Think of a challenge, real, constant, unyielding, at any time you may fit, and that would literally be it. Time will be lost, or your life lost, dignity gone, pain, uncertainty, living it day in, day out, getting on with or without. For them, it is real. It's a life with eternal fear. One they can never put away, constant and there always. To keep on going, no choice or they fall. One step in front of the other, they do it or they suffer. My child is my everything, they say. Life is anything but easy. I accept my challenge, my state. I accept my fate. And I accept your friendship, the kind thoughts, the hugs that give me strength to punter 1 foot in front of the other.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, round of applause for that.
Have you sent that to the charity?
No, this is my personal collection of poems, and I have never shared it with anybody, apart from Adele, though. Yeah.
It's very, very emotive and moving. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I got some of it on video, and it just didn't last long.
You were filming me as well.
After the show, I'll film you again, because I missed the end, because you only get 20 seconds on Twitter. So,
I can do it again.
Yeah.
No. Okay, let's have a break and hear from some of our supporters, and then we'll come back and do some more stuff.
Yeah. Become part of our...
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Tallis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
So that was Chinwe Uday that we spoke to, who's a consultant paediatrician, but also an ambassador for the Roald Dahl Marvellous Children's Charity.
Yeah, you got that right, Paul.
Have you got something to read, Jules?
Yeah, I do, but I thought that poem was beautiful, and I look forward to your book, your poetry book.
Oh, is there a book? I didn't know.
There's a book in you. And I was thinking also you could do some podcasts with your poems, you know. So that's
a good idea. Yeah. That's a good idea.
How you find time, I don't know, being a busy paediatrician. Yeah,
I know, but it's a process for me. It's one of the things I've been doing since the start of this year where if it comes to me, I write it down, and it really helps. It calms me.
That's what I was wondering. Do you do it as a sort of release and calming?
Yeah.
To just get, because your work must be quite stressful.
It can be, but I love it.
I can see that you're totally passionate about it, and you're changing lives, which is, you know, you get a good doctor and it sounds like your nurses are, you know, amazing. Work with are amazing.
Yeah.
That will change lives because the way that you're treated when you have an illness is countermote to everything, isn't it? It's 100%. You know.
My nurses are Sarah Bukan-Tigaris and Rebecca Simmons. The most wonderful pair in the world.
And they work in the...
In Dartford, at Darren Valley Hospital. Despite the challenges, we've got a huge workload, but I don't know how they do it, to be honest. And despite all of those challenges, they buckle down, they stay passionate, they stay focused, and just making a real difference. Mm. So they are the stars here. You know, not me. I'm just a good doctor.
Well, you're a team,
they're
aren't
absolutely
you?
Wonderful.
Yeah,
yes.
The
team is a good team because they're just good people on there. And I'm lucky in that way.
And is it true that you can, children can grow out of epilepsy sometimes?
Some epilepsies you can grow
out of.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why it's really important to get the diagnosis. You get it right the first time, because you don't want to go down a path where you're treating, something that may not need treatment with, you know, medication. So not all epilepsies would need, everything thrown at it. And it's really good right from the start to make sure we get it right for the child and the family.
And with the sleep patterns, I'm quite interested in that, you know, because I'm wondering whether, you know, we've all been affected by what we've been through in the last 2-3 years.
Yes.
So do you think it's feeding from the parents that their children are overhearing conversations about, you know, we haven't been able to sit on benches, for example, or meet people. So do you think that's feeding down and causing what you're seeing with sleep?
Yeah,
problems?
I think it's multifactorial, really. It feels like there are two groups of children, the younger ones who, some of them may have, neurodevelopmental differences like autism and real challenges, and they inherently have difficulties with sleep. Yeah. Children with autism and so, that needs sorting out as soon as possible. Mm. And you have the older children who are, in fact, dealing with a lot of anxiety. Yeah. They can't get to sleep.
They missed out on school.
They missed out on quite a few things.
And now
things.
The teachers are striking as well. It's like this whole pattern.
I think we kind of underestimate how that really impacts on the child. That thing about not being certain about what's going on. Mm-hmm. They may not be much.
Adele?
Exactly. Yeah, missed up the routine, isn't it, Adele? Yeah. We're just talking about routines and how it's important.
How important it is. And I think if parents are also struggling, a lot are struggling financially with the energy crisis and bills and stuff, then that is always like that means parents are working harder, less time longer. To settle kids. Yeah. And it is really, really difficult.
But other than, I think one big message I want to get out there today around sleep is that we need to think about the impact of sleep in a developing child. Mm-hmm. If we as adults, you know, we've had a couple of sleepless nights, you know how fucking
you are. Oh, exhausted. You need coffee, you need chocolate.
Yeah. and it's really quite difficult.
Yeah.
But these children are growing, they're developing, they need to be clear. They need to be clear so that they can receive input. And, but sleep also is an amazing thing, because when you sleep right in the, around 2 o'clock in the morning, the juicy bit of sleep, it's when your body actually comes alive. Mm-hmm. It's making your growth hormones, it's repairing your muscles that you've used all
hugely
day.
Hugely important.
Infections. Okay. So if your immune system is low, if you don't get enough sleep.
Is there an optimum amount of sleep that a child should have? You know, should it be 6 hours, 8 hours, 23?
So there is such a thing as oversleeping. That's a problem as well. Depending on your age, obviously the younger you are, the more sleep you need. So, up to 10 to 12 hours a day for the younger children, including naps, and at least 8 hours a day for the older child.
I'm going to sound like a right old woman, but when my kids, they're all grown up, baby is 27, the oldest is 36, so I've had three, but I was really strict with their routine. Like, you know, it was I was breastfeeding, but you know, bath, bottle, you might say, bed, you know, it was like,
I was
really
17 at the time, but yeah.
it was a strict sort of routine. And even now for my older kids, we bought them these amazing alarm clocks and they don't have their phones in their bedrooms at night because of the waves, the EMF. We all know that.
Exactly.
You shouldn't be sleeping with a phone. And I'm shocked I live by the sea and you see kids with their families going for a nice walk by the sea and the kids are on their phones.
Yeah.
So when do they get this brain break, you know?
Exactly. So your brain needs a break, basically.
Sure.
And one thing, you're right about routines, right? I talk to families when they come to see me in my clinic and about routines. And often the conversation around sleep comes through when they've presented with seizures or with headaches. So that's one of the first things that I deal with, sleep. And if you get that right, everything else seems to get better.
And it can be simple things as well, like, you know, blackout blinds and, you know, all these things.
And the environment, but screens before bedtime is a big one.
Oh, yeah. Even for us, adults. Yeah.
It's also quite interesting that when I talk to parents, many of them, especially for the older children, don't actually know how little their children sleep. Yeah, they'll go for like, well, I didn't know you wake up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet and not able to go back to sleep. So my website is Kent Kids Neurology and there's a sleep quiz there. Okay. Because you'll be surprised when you do the quiz, you'll be surprised how a lot of families discover that, well, my kid's not doing that. And a lot of those things are indicators of poor quality sleep, because it's not just how long you're sleeping for is the quality of sleep as well. So it's really important that we as a society think about that in our children, because they are our next step.
Bedtime stories. You know, are they dying out? Do parents read to
I have to tell you, Chinwe.
He's moved to his new season.
You have made her day.
Yeah, have I?
Yeah.
In what way?
Well, because she's obsessed with anything health. So having you here, she's allowed to talk about it. Whereas normally I just shut her mic off and ignore her. Yeah.
I think health is wealth. Health is important. And I think people wait till they are unwell and then they think that's when health comes in, but you need to get in there before you become unwell. Health is staying off the hospital bed. It's doing things so that those kids don't come into hospital with seizures. It's adjusting your lifestyle so that your risk of developing diabetes, cancer, all of those things come right down. And there is this really good TED talk by a really a world-class, highly experienced bloke called Matt Walker. I've sent that to you. So listen to that TED talk and you will not think the same about sleep anymore.
Matt Walker. Right.
Matt Walker.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just,
it's really cool. Yeah, isn't he? Yeah.
I just want to ask you one question. Well, we got a doctor. You can ask all kinds of questions, can't you?
But I'm a pediatrician.
Don't ask me anything.
This is over the hill, Paul.
This is in line with what you were saying.
Yeah.
Through a family experience, a small child had a seizure, completely out of the blue. Went to hospital. Consultant looked at him, and they said, "Yeah, it will never happen again. If it did." It would happen within the next few days. If it doesn't, it will never happen again. And that just seemed a bit odd to me. But
how would they even know that?
Well, I think we need to give colleagues credit in A&E because there may well be other things around that particular child that may have caused them to sort of come to that conclusion. But I think that that it's really difficult to say in one way or another, especially in medicine, this will never happen again. There's never 100% in anything, you know, let alone medicine. But far more important than what happens later is what we do around our family that first time. Okay?
Support.
So wrapping around them, supporting them so that they're not panicking and going to their GP, or the child then, you know, blinks a little bit. Oh my God, there's a panic. And then they're in hospital. And do you see what I mean? So it's really about managing those emotions around the, around that time. Never mind whether the seizures come back or not, because nobody can say. But it's really about supporting them at that first time.
The young lady I go to in Barnes that does my nails is epileptic. And of course she can't drive. She's 22 and she'll be doing my nails. And then I've got homeopathy behind. She'll suddenly go very quiet and she's having a petty mal, is it?
I don't know. Absence.
And then she comes back. Yeah. You know, and we're quite used to it. I'm quite used to it now, but it must be shocking for her. To actually not be there.
Yeah. Well, that's a success story, isn't it? I think for her. I don't know her personally, but I think that's amazing. Because if you roll back a few decades, you know, a lot of people with epilepsy just had really challenging lives. They weren't able to move on with
She's got a great career.
Move back even further than they were, I don't know.
They would be in asylums.
They were really terribly treated. So we've come a long way. However, the stigma remains. And this is why I'm on this radio show, to tell people that that child with epilepsy, that young person or that person with epilepsy, they are the true success story. They are the underdogs that have made it, and they should be celebrated and supported. And people need not be scared about you know, approaching or also helping if the person is in need.
Very cuddly having you here on this desk, Paul Andrews.
I know, it's all going Pete Tong, isn't it? Just before we move over to the newsroom, I just want to read a tweet that I had from Michael Parks, because I said I would and I should have read it half an hour ago. Michael Parks of Ayers said, "Happy Tuesday to you and the Business Bunker team. You're having a great show today and thank you so much." So thank you to the team at Michael Parks of Ayers, commercial surveyors over in the Medway area. You can talk for 30 seconds while I run round the desk and push the button to go over to the newsroom.
Well, Kent Creative, the lovely Natalie Benes, who is in here videoing us, says they're calling for all artists, designers and makers in Kent and invite them to submit their work to the Designers and Makers Market. It's at the Turner Contemporary in Margate on Saturday the 2nd, Sunday the 3rd of December, 2023. That's old. Anyway, how did that get in there?
It should be 2024.
Really? Yeah. Oh, okay. So 3rd of December 2023, it's and providing a platform for Kent-based designers and makers to showcase their work. The event is now in its sixth year, taking place in one of the county's most significant cultural venues, and we're excited to offer this opportunity. So that will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk, but it's theculturein.kent.org if you want to look at their website as well. And the date was 3rd of December in Margate at the Contemporary. Turner.
Absolutely. We're going to join the newsroom, and then when we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk.